Gradcast, the official radio show and podcast of the Society of Graduate Students at Western University. I'm your host, Anam Anjum.
I'm your co-host, Anthony Cruz. Do you want to hear a joke about sodium?
Yes, I do.
Nah.
Gosh, I can't. Well, we have an expert in the field. We actually have a PhD candidate. Could you please actually introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Gabriel Jobin. I just transitioned into the PhD program just last semester. Yeah.
Nice. So could you actually talk about your research?
Yeah. So the lab that I'm a part of specializes in fundamental chemistry. So chemistry and science in general is insanely broad. However, we kind of focus on reactivity on like the most or a more basic level. I guess specifically science is kind of moving in a kind of a green direction with a focus on, you know, energy conservation and sustainability, reduced waste, whether that be, you know, energy waste or material waste as well. So one of the ways that scientists are looking to reduce that physical waste is through catalysis. That's kind of a big word if you're not used to hearing it, but maybe if people remember back to like grade 10 chemistry, the word catalyst, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that speeds up a reaction. And so beyond that, catalyst can perform some sort of transformation, whatever that chemical transformation is, multiple times. And so it can be recycled. And that's kind of the reason why they're so sought after.
Right.
And so basically what we try to study is chemical relationships that we hope can be mapped onto catalysts in order to face the global challenges today in a broad sense. Yeah.
Wow. Love that.
That's very cool. Yeah, love green initiatives. Right. So it sounds like you're coming at this from a very like basic science perspective, you'd say.
Yeah, 100%. So like we'll take a molecule, we'll put it in some sort of solvent, we'll react it with another molecule, and we'll determine the outcome. However, you know, when we think about industry and like industrial scale chemistry, they're doing things on like solid state. So it's like surface science, which is big here at Western. And so, you know, we're studying these things on small scales in solution. Ultimately, we'd want the concepts and ideas to be kind of mapped onto potentially some sort of like solid state structure that can do a similar transformation, but be even more like efficient, basically. So.
Right. So was your master's then just focused on a specific like experiment, or was it just working with a group of people on so many different substances?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So technically, I didn't finish the master's. Right. I only spent about a year in the program. While I was there, I would say I was more so just contributing to the overall research program. We specialize in various reactions with boron, for example. Mm. I was given a research project that kind of was similar to our research interests and performed that, hoped that it matched some of the findings that we had found previously and stuff like that.
Right.
And so that was the bulk of my master's, I would say, the 1 year I was in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're just going to continue that on into your PhD?
Yeah. So like I said, a lot of the work that our group currently does is with boron. Mm-hmm. However, an element that's really similar to boron is aluminum. I'm sure everyone's heard of aluminum. And aluminum is super abundant, right? And so we are going to hope that we can do similar chemistry with aluminum to further the kind of the sustainability goals.
Wow.
And so I think that's kind of the direction that I'll be going, specifically aluminum.
Nice. Yeah. So green. I love
so
it.
Green. Yeah, yeah. We're doing our best.
Awesome.
Can you describe aluminum for someone who doesn't know?
Aluminum, yeah.
good point, yeah.
Do you mean like the physical substance of aluminum or?
However you take
it. Okay, yeah. So aluminum, I mean, if you have used aluminum foil, that's just a pure aluminum, right? So it's kind of it's a metal, but it also has different chemical properties that aren't common with like something like iron, for example. So it's kind of a different type of metal, but
okay.
Yeah, did you want me to go deeper than that?
I think that's great.
That was fantastic.
Cool.
And are there any other elements that your research group focuses on, or just boron and aluminum?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So we use, you know, elements in tandem together. So the catalyst part of it is it often requires a transition metal, which is basic. Mm. So if you think of something like iron or nickel, something that you're like, oh, well, that's obviously a metal. It's in a coin or something. Those are transition metals, and so we typically use boron and a metal and try to combine those two things.
Right.
And then we hope that kind of produces the catalytic result.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, this reminds me of the staircase and the periodic table with
exactly,
the transition metals.
Exactly, of course, yep.
That's awesome, yeah. So what made you want to conduct this research?
That's a really good question. So I did my undergraduate degree at Wilfrid Laurier University. Mm. And when I was there, I didn't necessarily think about research much, to be honest, until my fourth year thesis project. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was just given a list of professors, and one of them I had recognized to be like a really nice lady. And so
nice.
I was like, that's all I really want. So let's just do that. And that kind of involved using metals, and I'm going to call them ligands, but it's just something that bonds to a metal.
Right.
And through that process, I liked that kind of research that we were doing, the quote unquote fundamental research, kind of react to things in a vial, that kind of thing.
Right.
When I was done at Laurier, she kind of put me in touch with my supervisor now, who's Marcus Drover. And yeah, I had a great conversation with him, great conversation with his grad students. And I was like, you know what? I'm not a hard sell. Let's do it.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And that's how you came to Western.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Exactly.
It sounds like a very organic way that you came into chemistry.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't say I was always like the most ambitious, like, I must study boron chemistry, but yeah, 100%. We're finding our way.
Boron sounds like anything but boring.
Oh, my gosh. These jokes are not going to end. Oh, my gosh. Do you have a list of them? Like, did you come prepared with a list?
No, I swear I didn't.
Oh, are you sure?
Just off the cuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. That's, like, so amazing. But, okay. So how are you specifically conducting your research? Like, you're saying that you put two elements kind of together, or sometimes two, and you're using catalysts and such, but, like, is this literally in like a beaker in a flask? Like, where is that? What's going on?
Yeah. So a lot of the work that we do is in a glove box, which if someone has never heard of a glove box, it's basically just, well, it's a big box with gloves in it. And basically what it allows us to do is to do chemistry with no oxygen around. So we have nitrogen gas kind of floating through that glove box, and it allows us to do special and like cooler chemistry.
Wow.
So there's different processes that we take to make sure that no oxygen gets in that box. And then once everything's in the box, we'll just do a reaction as you would on a benchtop.
Amazing.
When we set out to do an experiment, you know, there will be something that we're in our heads we're trying to prove to ourselves or our supervisor. And, you know, we'll kind of sift through the literature, figure out similar experiments that maybe have been done with what solvent, what's temperature, that kind of thing. And then from there, we'll try it, see if anything interesting happens, and follow up if something does. I'd say that's... Yeah.
Okay.
That summarizes what most
of
my days
that.
Are. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've already talked about sustainability. We've talked about like your research being environmentally friendly and green. Well, did you ever have a focus on it being like sustainable before this? And like, are you interested in sustainability now?
I think for sure. I mean, like over the last, you know, few years, I've definitely been like thinking more about just like, you know, climate change and that kind of thing.
Right.
Just in general, the health of the globe or whatever. Like I said, I didn't come into the research with a specific goal towards like, I want to like make sure we're getting CO2 out of here. But I was pleased to find that when I got to my research group, there was at least a focus on, like I said, like CO2 removal and that kind of stuff like that. So,
okay.
It was a small coincidence, but I'd say in general, I've been interested in that kind of area. Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
I know this question is probably your least favorite. I come from like a basic science perspective as well. And so I guess what I'm wondering is, are there any immediate applications you could see when you're done with your current project?
To my stuff? I mean, our field and the stuff that I do is quite academic, I must say. You know, there are certain industries that take certain things that we're researching. So like different oil companies that are looking to do stuff with CO2, they might take certain concepts. So there is like industries that are interested in the stuff we're doing, and they've taken note and stuff like that. So that's kind of cool. It would be nice to get like a foot in the door and those kind of things for sure from this, I'd say. Yeah.
Okay. So then in the future, you plan on going into the industry? Is that what's happening?
Well, currently, I don't see myself as a professor. Mm-hmm. And part of the problem with like graduate school is like, it's not always the most clear what you're going to do with that degree. I mean, you have the degree, and that's a valuable thing, but you have to figure out what you want to do with that. So currently, as I'm not looking into necessarily staying in academia my whole life, I think probably some sort of, like, company, some company.
So fair.
Exactly. Yeah.
Going to work with someone to save the world.
Exactly.
Save the planet.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's the hope.
Wow.
Right. Well, when you're not studying ways that we can save the planet, what do you like to do around town? How do you spend your time?
Yeah, so I kind of live pretty much on the outskirts of London. So it's not always the most accessible to like downtown life and that kind of thing. I mean, I like to go for like, you know, walks around the neighborhood. So like I'm kind of North London, super nice area. And so, yes, so I do that. Still kind of trying to get my feet here. So I just moved here this last September.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm still kind of like learning the city a little bit, but it's certainly nice. And, you know, I golf. There's lots of golf courses around. Yeah. Haven't been able to do that recently, but.
Yeah, I'm more of a mini golfer, honestly.
Yeah. You like the putting.
Yeah. Exactly.
But putting is fun.
Yeah. So is there anything else on campus that you're involved in? Or, well, research probably takes up most of your time anyways, but is there anything else?
So, you know, I am a TA as part of the grad student, right? And so I've enjoyed that part, just kind of communicating with the undergrad students. Mm-hmm. They seem really keen at this school, which is great. As far as like volunteering, I've tried to volunteer for like conferences that have come up.
Oh, nice.
So upcoming, right. There's a kind of an undergrad conference, mm-hmm. That Western's hosting, and I'll be volunteering at that, which will be fun.
Right.
Which is apparently like the first conference that a lot of these undergrads get to go to, which I think is kind of cool. Outside of that, let me think. Nothing too crazy. Nothing too crazy. I try to take part in the chem club stuff. But yeah that's
oh,
about
chem
it.
Club. Wow.
Not like, you know, volunteering. I'll participate when they host some fun stuff.
Okay, but. Well, that's so fair. I want to go back to your research. Mm-hmm. So I just am a little curious. So do you end up having a thesis at the end of like this year or like next year? And does that continue to develop?
So do you mean that if I will be writing a thesis or if I will have like a thesis statement that I'm trying to prove?
Like writing a thesis, just like one thesis statement, because you did say like there's sometimes like you're working with boron, sometimes you're working with aluminum. Yeah. Like, is there one definitive thesis statement that you're going to be working on in your PhD?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. And admittedly, our research group operates a little bit differently, where I think we think of ourselves as just investigators, right?
We're scientists, yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. We're kind of just trying to kind of further our own research program and the broader field that's developing with around our work. And so that's really exciting. I would say the PhD aspect of it, I'm really focused on aluminum since I've started the PhD program. And so what I would say for some sort of thesis is like I'm trying to expand similar reactivity that we've shown with boron, but to aluminum. That's the kind of the focus. And
got it. That makes a lot more sense.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Especially because you guys are all scientists, like you're working together and like doing experiments. But I wonder like how this plays a role with your PhD.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Hopefully that answered the question.
It does. Thank you.
Yeah.
You mentioned your research group kind of operates a little bit uniquely. Can you elaborate? What research group are you a part of and what else makes them unique?
Well, so I'm part of the Drover group. Like I said, Marcus Drover is our supervisor. We just all moved last September. So before that, we were all at the University of Windsor. And then he took a job here and we all kind of followed him. I'd say in what I was referring to earlier, I think we focus a lot on expanding what we're doing. So like just furthering kind of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So like I said, we do a lot of work with kind of metals and boron together. And so we're trying to, so one student will be trying to do some sort of transformation with those two aspects. Another student will be trying to do a similar thing where we're, trying to activate things like CO2 or, you know, nitrogen, which are in the atmosphere, obviously. Whereas one student might, you know, be focused on charging boron. I know that doesn't necessarily mean anything to you, but you can see how they're just like slighter variations on kind of what we've built so far. And yeah. I think, yeah.
That makes sense. So in all of this research and experience, have you encountered any like challenges?
I mean, certainly, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So the like I said, the chemistry we do is like air free. It's air sensitive. First of all, it requires a lot of training up front in order to be able to do the chemistry. And so it definitely takes some time to get used to like a glove box, to get used to like nitrogen gas lines and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that took me a long time. And even still, you know, you can do a chemical reaction and somehow oxygen gets in and you're like, oh, something went wrong.
It comes out of nowhere.
And so, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the reactivity that I do can be quite frustrating where things go wrong and I'm like, well, I don't know what exactly went wrong. But so in that regard, I've definitely encountered like synthetic problems. And, you know, we do have certain processes that we've developed in our lab that are kind of difficult where we'll do reactions at like, you know, -130 degrees, which is... can be hard to maintain over like 8 hours, but
yeah.
So I'd say like those are like the types of challenges we would face in our lab.
Okay.
Just that kind of stuff.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. That temperature doesn't sound that cold.
I wouldn't put my finger in it.
Yeah.
Gosh, in a glove box, isn't that just the thing in my car?
Oh my gosh.
No keys in our though, I don't think.
No keys. How do you keep it safe? I'm messing around. So do you have any sort of lasting goals for while you're here at Western? Of course, you have your dissertation that you're going to want to defend. You're going to want to finish your program. But is there anything else, like any specific goal that you want to reach?
Do you mean as it like pertains to the research or just outside of that?
Anything.
Both. Why not?
Both. Okay. Well, I mean, currently when my research, I'd like to get like something to work, anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at right now. But, you know, I'm sure it'll happen. Outside of research, I mean, I would certainly like to be a part of like the greater, you know, graduate student community.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bit of a grad a graduate student chem club kind of thing. But I don't know. I think it could do some more things. And I think I would like to be a part of that if it ever does. So,
nice. So you have a vision, maybe.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Okay. Wow. So that's to the chem club, and then you just want something to work. Earlier you said that some things go wrong, oxygen comes in, but how do you even figure that out? Like, how did you figure out
that something went wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So our lab, more than a lot of labs, does a lot of work with NMR, which stands for nuclear magnetic resonance. A lot of big words.
Yeah.
But basically, it's a big magnet, and there's lots of complexities to it, but it basically allows us to at least get a sense of structure relationships within a solution. So, for example, like, let me think of a good one. Water would show a peak in the proton, in the NMR spectra.
Because of the hydrogen.
Because of the hydrogen, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so you can probe different nuclei. Yeah. And so, you know, especially with the chemistry that we do, if you get like a really just forest of NMR peaks, you're like, this probably didn't go too cleanly. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of typically one way to tell.
Right.
But our group also, in tandem with boron and other elements, we do a lot of work with phosphorus.
Oh, okay.
Which maybe you guys have heard. I'm sure people have heard of the element phosphorus, but
can you explain for those of us who don't?
Yeah, I mean, it's P on the periodic table. Let me think. So it's similar to nitrogen. It has very similar chemical properties to nitrogen. I would say, and so we like to use phosphorus in place of nitrogen, because phosphorus will give a peak in a NMR spectrum, so we can kind of probe it that way. It's our way of, you know, we're doing these reactions on a milligram scale, which is incredibly minute. And so we're trying to like build these bigger molecules on this small scale. And it can be hard to know if we succeeded. And so NMR tells us kind of success or failure based on, you know, literature that we'll sift through to determine if it was a success or a failure, that kind of thing.
Got it. Wow.
Does that answer your
question?
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So it's like the bonds from the compound that will give peaks within the NMR.
So it's actually the
elements?
It's actually the chemical environment. Okay. So like if I have a hydrogen that's next to an iron,
yeah,
it'll show up different than a hydrogen that's bound to a carbon.
Okay.
So yeah, it has to do with like the chemical environment.
Got it. Okay. So now NMR is very well explained.
Well, yeah.
Hydrogen and iron, they cannot hang out. They cannot be friends.
Oh, my gosh. I can't. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like the skills you're building here are just very hyper-specialized. Hmm. Do you think you're going to be able to take it easily to, like, wherever you go next, like, this specific skill set you're developing?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'd say in the analytical tools that we use in our lab, they're really not different than any synthetic chemistry lab would use. So like things like NMR, as I mentioned, or like mass spec, which is another thing that people use, or IR spectroscopy, those kind of things. Those are going to be used in any synthetic chemistry environment. And so in that sense, I would say yes, they're quite applicable, and to understand them and know how to run them. In addition, I mean, air-sensitive chemistry, especially in the development of kind of catalysts, like I mentioned, with metals, the air-free techniques are also quite applicable, where, you know, lots and lots of scientists and groups are doing not similar, but like adjacent work. Mm-hmm. And so, we're not too siloed in the things that we do in our lab. Yeah.
So it's all transferable.
Well, to a degree.
Okay.
Yeah. Like if someone wanted me to do some polymer stuff, it might take some more practice, but.
You've got those basic general skills that you need to be able to do any of it.
I hope so. Yeah, I think so. I think part of the whole process is just learning how to learn, right? And so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, how long does one experiment take?
Yeah, so it depends. I would say in our lab, it varies from kind of instantly, where we'll throw two things together, it'll change color, you're like, sick.
Amazing.
And then you go check, and you're like, it's beautiful. you go check, and so. Those can happen. And the longest one I would say is you kind of leave something overnight, that kind of thing. We very rarely on purpose will leave a reaction for like multiple days or anything like that. It's more like a few hours, that kind of thing.
Wow.
Yep. And so we can, especially by doing everything just right in the glove box, we can get quite a lot of data in quite a short amount of time, which makes it nice.
Okay.
Yep.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
No, it takes me so long to collect data. I work with people, so it's just difficult and just time consuming.
Yep. 100%.
Something I was wondering, there's this sort of general sentiment, I think, in the public when you use the word chemical. It's very negative. People don't like chemicals, even though they're everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The stuff that you work with, is that safe? Is that any danger in that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So part of the need for glove boxes is also because a lot of the chemicals that we work with are not the best. Mm. So we deal a lot with, you know, pyrophoric chemicals, which just means they will ignite if they touch the air, for example. So and also, like I said, we work with phosphorus a lot. A lot of these phosphorus compounds are quite nasty. They smell bad. They're not good to, like, inhale. And so in that regard, as inorganic, since, like, inorganic organic chemists, we do deal with a lot of nasty chemicals.
Yeah.
And so that's definitely a challenge that, you know, science in general has to face. I mean, I know scientists do know that, like, it's better to focus on, you know, chemistry that can be done in water, for example. Whereas we'll do nastier solvents than that. Can you repeat, like, the last part of your question?
Oh, no, you totally answered
okay,
it.
Okay, cool. Cool.
Working with some nasty chemicals.
Some of them
that.
Are nasty. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So this, you might not know the answer to this question, but does your lab or your, like, research group have any sustainability, like, research practices other than just, like, the elements that they're working on or the experiments they're conducting, but just within the lab? Are there any sustainability practices?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Admittedly, there's not too much. I mean, we do generate, you know, waste with our reactions,
of
and
course, yeah.
And in general, we don't necessarily do too much to negate that.
Yeah. It might not be possible. That's
yeah,
the other thing.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It is tough, especially because a lot of these, so like I said, I do a lot of work with metals, or that's mm-hmm. the goal at least. And a lot of these, or almost all of the metal compounds, are not soluble in water. And
right.
so because of that, like I said, we have to use, like, almost exclusively grosser solvents, like with chlorine on them, for example, which are bad for you. They'll get into, like, your body and kind of do some nefarious things. But so in general, a lab like ours, not the best at sustainability practices as far as, like, that kind of thing. But I think it's a room for improvement, not just in our lab, but yeah, in all labs.
That's
for
good
sure.
to know, though.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
No, it's just there's such a limit to how sustainable you can
exactly.
be.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how does your research, like, possibly contribute to the broader field of chemistry? Do you have any ideas on that?
Yeah. So a lot of what we try to do is kind of activate bonds. So, like, we'll try to break bonds, for example, using our compounds that we make. And we hope that, you know, we're breaking these bonds in a more energy sustainable way than they have been previously. So that's a lot of chemistry where they'll report a result and you're like, it happened at a lower temperature. This is a win. You know what I mean?
Right,
so
yeah.
It's all about, you know, minor improvements on current transformations that are being done to make, you know, drugs, to make, like I said, to take out CO2 from the atmosphere, these kind of things.
Yeah.
So
this definitely has, like, a lot of hands within just, like, medicine, like pharmacy, because, like, therapeutics, like, and drugs and stuff, but also just, like, the environment and, like, I guess global warming.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Catalysts are incredibly popular for a lot of different fields. So,
okay.
And we don't necessarily do a lot of catalytic reactions. We're more so studying kind of interactions that we hope someone can make or us can use in the future. But yeah, that's kind of the goal.
Nice.
Yeah,
super cool. What is the biggest takeaway if you were trying to explain what you do and why it's important to someone who's in your family and has no idea about any of this, let's say, what would you want them to take away?
So I'm going to try to do this without getting too, you know, in the weeds or whatever. Mm-hmm. What I think is cool about our research is we'll take two elements or two things, elements kind of being a broader term here. We'll take two things that have proven to work separately, kind of together, but not as two different elements.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what we try to do is we'll take A and B, which have been proven to do some sort of transformation, and we try to connect the two things. So we'll put a linker between A and B. So now it's one molecule, it's not two things. And I personally think that's a really cool concept, and it's a concept that's being sought after for a lot of really, really important transformations.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Okay, yeah. I love that. And just as a final question, I wanted to ask if you have some advice for anybody wanting to go into your field or, like, within, like, your PhD program.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I would say be patient, for sure. I'm not always the best at that, but, you know, people have told me that when you start in a new lab or any new field where you're just where your goal is just to learn about that, you know, field or topic, you know, the first year is training. It's like it's getting your feet wet and that kind of thing. So getting too ahead of yourself can be frustrating. So I would say, you know, be patient. be curious for mm-hmm. sure. Ask questions, I guess. Definitely look into the people that you'll be like working with. So okay. like, our lab is super fun and collaborative and things mm-hmm. like that, and energetic. And I think if I was in a lab where like I was just sullenly on a computer by myself, I don't know. It'd be a different experience for sure.
Right.
If you have people that you like to work with and someone that you like to work for or whatever, it can be a real motivator to keep going and overcome challenges and just show up every day. So yeah, I'd make sure to like look into who you'll be working with and have a good conversation
with
them.
That's smart. That's great advice for anyone wanting to go into research, honestly.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Wish I knew that going in. Messing around. But thank you so much.
Yeah.
This has been GradCast, the official radio show and podcast of the Society of Graduate Students at Western University. I've been your host, Anthony Cruz. My co-host was Anam Anjum. And we've been speaking with Gabriel Jobin. And this episode was produced by Maria Khan. If you'd like to be involved with the show or get in contact with us, email us at gradcast@sogs.ca. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at GradCast Radio. To listen to us, we are on Radio Western 94.9 FM. You can find all of our episodes wherever you find your podcasts. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the rest of your day.